Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's worship celebration.
Happy Easter, everybody! Hi! I'm so glad you're here. Look at you. You look good. I see hats and bonnets and smiling, beautiful faces, and people I haven't seen in a long time. Hi. If you're here for the very first time, raise your hand so I can invite you to preach. Okay, there we go. Hi. First time balcony, woohoo! Yay! If you're here for the first time online, hey, everybody turn around and wave to the people online. I'm Jackie Lewis. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I'm the senior minister here. We're thrilled you're here. Easter is Easter because you're here. In churches all over the globe today, someone will say, Christ is risen, and the church will say back, He is risen indeed. Okay, you're ready. I see. Let's do it one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, then. It's a bold proclamation of faith in the midst of death, right? Let me tell you about a couple things that are happening in our community. First of all, today is Sunday, and we hope that you will enjoy some time with each other, some conversation after worship. At 6 o'clock this evening, I will be on the Jonathan Capehart Show. I'll be trying to say a little something, something revolutionary. So say a prayer for me and check it out if you can. One of the ways that we're trying to help the church rise into its best self is this conference that we offer every year. And this year it's called Freedom Rising, You Move the World. And, you know, there's a lot of great people coming to it. Simranjeet Singh is like one of the greatest humans on the planet. Nelba Marquez Green lost her daughter in Sandy Hook and is preaching about the power of grief all over the place. We've got Rick Jacobs and Dr. Hussein Rashid, so Muslim and Jewish representation. And William Barber's coming. I'm going to come, I think. So if you'll come, I'll come. Does that sound good? So this is a movement-building conference, not an entertain-you conference. This is a time of emergency, and we're really trying to get our organized selves ready for the election. Right, Nick? We got to get ready for that election. So please get a ticket. Three days for a really reasonable price. We'd love to have you. So let's have you do that. I think, finally, I will just say that our gospel choir is in the house. And they are volunteers in this movement for love and justice, and they work really hard. So I thought I should just say a special shout out to them. Shout out to you. With that in mind, we are full, and there's a couple of empty seats. Like there's one right here, there's one right here. If you don't mind scooching in case there could be someone that sits on the edge of your row, that would be a gift. That would just be a gift, okay? All right, are you ready to worship God? Because what? Yes. We are people of the rising, amen?
Yes.
Amen. All right, let's sing our opening hymn with our choir. Make a room for someone right here. There you are, ma'am. Let's stand, if you're able, or stand in spirit, and we'll sing our opening hymn together.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy Easter. Amen. I would like to invite all of our young folks and young at heart, hi, to come on down. Bring a person you feel comfortable with, if that helps, and meet me in just a moment up here on the podium. As they're doing that, as you can tell, we have a beautifully full house. Come on down, welcome. We do have a computer screening this worship in a room upstairs. If you are standing somewhere and you'd rather sit, there's a room upstairs that is broadcasting this. Young folks, come on down. And as they're making their way, I would like to say to all of these young people how wonderful it is to have you all here in worship. Our worship is so much better and cooler and richer when you all are here. Amen, church?
Amen.
So with all your wiggles and giggles and fun selves, come on down. Friends, today we are celebrating a holiday in the Christian tradition called Easter. Happy Easter. Now, I know that not everybody here may celebrate Easter. You may celebrate a different holiday, or maybe there's something in your family that's special for you, and I hope we get to hear about that one day too. But today, we are going to talk a little bit about Easter. If you've never heard the Easter story before, that's okay. You get to keep listening throughout the whole worship, because Reverend Dr. Jackie Lewis is going to tell us some of the Easter story in a little bit. But I have a question before we do that. If you have heard any part of the Easter story before, I'm wondering if there's any part of it that you might have a question about or that you think is a little bit weird. Raise your hand and Elise or I will pass you a mic if you have a question or a thought about the Easter story. Anything. This morning, we had a friend say, I get a lot of candy on Easter. That's kind of funny. Any other thoughts about Easter? Yeah?
I heard a really good one this morning. Why did Jesus' friends betray him?
Why did Jesus' friends betray him? Yeah.
Because the Easter bunny gave eggs.
Yeah, I mean, the Easter bunny brings eggs, right? I mean, come on. Any other thoughts or questions about the Easter story? Well, those are some good questions to put out here. I have a lot of questions also about the Easter story. And now I have another set of questions for you all. For these questions, you're going to raise your hand if this is true for you. Raise your hand if you're comfortable. Okay, Teddy? Raise your hand if you have ever felt scared. Octavius, is that a hand or is that a ring pop? Yeah, Raise your hand if you've ever felt any pain or hurt. Oh, yeah, here's our question. Pain, yeah, raise your hand. If you ever felt lonely, raise your hand if you've ever felt lonely. Yeah, I see a lot of adults here in the room with their hands raised. Fear, we said that, if you've ever felt scared. Look at all these hands, yeah. Raise your hand if you've ever been doing something and you really thought you were doing the right thing and then somebody rejected you. They were unkind to you. Anybody? Right? Hey, Milton. Absolutely. Okay. Now what I'm going to do, I'm going to invite Teddy and Belle up here. I have flipped all of these feelings over. And on the other side of these feelings are four letters. And I'm going to see if Teddy and Belle can figure out if these feelings spell a new word. And if they do, stand up. Let's see. Could I have you help me, friend? And would you like to help too? Okay. All right. Wonderful. Okay. You stand up right here, Ophelia. I want you to stand really tall with Octavius and hold that L above your head. There it is. Teddy, right here. Really, really high. Belle, get on up. Zeke, come on with the E. Oh, Octavius, you got the E with Zeke. Awesome. Really high up. Okay, there's so many things that we have questions about for the Easter story, but if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this today, okay? When we talk about Jesus going on the cross and getting killed on the cross, Jesus took all of those feelings that we named, our fear, our pain, our loneliness, our rejection, and Jesus took all of that and held it on the cross. Have you ever had any worries or anxiety and somebody said, I'm worried about that too? It kind of feels good, right? When somebody says, I feel that way too. That's how we are to feel, knowing that Jesus went on the cross and held all of those feelings, okay? And then all of those feelings kind of stayed on the ground. When we talk about Jesus rising 3 days later, which is kind of a weird concept, just remember that, what is this word? Love. Hold it high, there you go, good up, good. That love is what rose from the grave. That love outlasted all of this stuff. That love is what was left when everything else was gone. Can you remember that? All right. For our prayer this morning, if you are able to stand, please stand. And we're going to say together 3 times on the count of 3, love rising. Can we do it? 1, 2, 3. Love rising. Love rising. Love rising. Amen.
Happy Easter. Will you pray with me? Because love lives, we can face tomorrow. Again, what is alive and well within us. Oh God, we thank you that love is stronger than death. God, we thank you for a community that holds and keeps us in fierce revolutionary love, which was modeled by Jesus, even unto death. Help us, Lord, to model that same spirit even to our very last breath. May we use it to help those in need. May we use it to fight oppression. May we use it to bring God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. May we continue to face each new tomorrow with love. May we continue to rise up in love again and again and again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning, church. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're able to, and in spirit, you can do that as well. Before I say this prayer, my name is Zane. My pronouns are he and him, and I work here as a director of communications, so you see me taking pictures of you. Don't feel alarmed. But I'm so honored to be here in this space with you all. To be here with you on Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday or Trans Day of Visibility. I identify as transgender. I'm a trans man. I was born as a woman and lived as a Black and Latinx woman for 26 years of my life, and then transitioned 8 years ago. And thank you. And today, like I said, is Transgender Day of Visibility. It's observed everywhere to bring attention to a powerful folk, a spiritual folk, a wonderful folk, a revolutionary folk that are often ignored and rejected. And we feel those feelings that Reverend Amanda spoke about. We feel afraid. We feel lonely sometimes. And so I just want us to take a moment of silence before we do this to honor all of our ancestors, our transcestors that have done the work before us, that have done the work for women and men around the world. Join me in a moment of silence, please. And I just want you to look around and actually look around. Don't look at me, please. Actually look around. Look at this church. Look at this room. This is a church that accepts all people through its doors, a church that invites all people to sit in its pews. Yes. This is a church served by a pastor who sees all people,
yes,
who speaks to all people, who calls all people holy, holy, holy. I've grown up in churches all my life, and I have served all my life, and this is the first church out of hundreds of churches, the first church that I have ever been to that has called me holy.
You are holy.
And so I just want to thank you, because it's not just the pastor's work, but it is you. It is all of you who smile at me, who witness me, who love me, who actually believe that I belong here and in heaven. And so I just want to say thank you on this Resurrection Sunday, because without you, I could not have been lifted. So let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray this in whatever language or tongue that speaks closer to you. And you can read from the bulletin if it feels unfamiliar to you. Ever loving and holy God, hallowed be thy name.
Your reign come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the reign.
My name is Jillian. I use she, her, hers pronouns, and I'm your new Minister of Membership Development, Community Life, and Care. It is so good to be with you. Before I say anything, can we just say thank you to Zane again for highlighting? Zane just did such a beautiful job at sharing what makes Middle such a special place. As I was thinking about Easter this year and celebrating Easter for the first time at a place like this, I thought about this quote from, I think about it often, from a theologian who was born and lived in Poland during World War II. His name is Karol Wojta. And in one of his sermons during his life, he said, "We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song." And what he meant by this is that we are a resurrection people. We are a people who face adversity, pain, but know that there is life after. There is love after. We are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. So Middle Church, can I hear that this morning? We're an Easter people, and what is our song?
Hallelujah.
One more time, what's our song?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are a risen people, and we are going to take a minute to greet our risen people here in just a moment. But I want to remind you, if you want to look back at that camera, we have so many people online worshiping with us. Give them a wave. Say hello to those who are with us online who are also a resurrection people. And I want to give you an opportunity to come up here and say hello to them on the mic. We will have a video that's going to play. So if you want to queue up, say hello. Otherwise, they won't be able to hear you because they'll see the video online. But take a moment this morning, pass the peace with one another, say good morning, say hello, and remind yourself that you're an Easter people. May peace be with you all this Easter morning. Thank you.
Happy Easter, Middle Church, and peace be with you. Here's your pop on for this week. Our online worship celebration will be transitioning from 3 p.m. on YouTube to Circle next Sunday. We want to provide a space where you can watch and continue to share your thoughts with each other, and the YouTube premiere just wasn't doing it for us. So now the link will be shared on Circle for you to watch and comment as best fits your schedule. We hope this helps more of you engage with worship on Sundays when you can't join us at 11:45 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, conference is coming up at the end of April. Sure, you can see these speakers in a lot of places on the internet, but here at this conference is the only place where like-minded people will all be together at the same time to have conversations and to build community in the work of liberation. We know this is the only way change can happen, and we have to be ready for this fall. Head to freedomrising.org to purchase your ticket or to help someone else be able to attend. Use the code COLLEGIATE for a discount. That's all for now. Blessings on your week, fam. Now let's get back into our worship celebration.
Family, as our choir is making their way in and I'm using the right mic, I want to invite anyone who feels like they do not want to stand any longer and would rather sit on this beautiful mat with me. I'm going to lay it right up here because we are a full house. And if you are a young person or you've got, you know, a body that is okay to sit on the floor and you want to do that, come and sit with me up here on the floor on this mat, okay? Let's give some folks who really need to be in seats, seats. Thank you so much.
Wow. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm sorry it's so crowded. You know, we had a fire in 2020, and we need a new space. So when the offering bag comes by, amen. Choir band, that's just such gorgeous music. I want to thank you. It's just beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Today's scripture lesson is found from the Gospel of John. Let me just say right now that Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptic gospels because they sort of tell the same story from the same source, mostly, right? A little bit of differences. But John's different. John's written 75, 85 years after, in AD, right? A little later in the writing. And John's got a different theology happening. I'm going to try to make that clear as I preach this sermon that is called Nevertheless, She Preached. With all the entendres intended, you know. This is as Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." When she said this, she turned and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God. For the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? God, you're my joy and you're my peace. All my cares I cast on thee. Never take your love away from me, from this community, from this world. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
I heard Otis Moss Jr., Otis Moss III's dad, who married Dr. King and Coretta, amazing preacher. I heard him preach once, actually at Trinity Church in Chicago. And one of the things that the Reverend does is he just tells you straight up front that this is what he's going to tell you, and then he tells you. And you ask him why, he's like, "Because I don't want you to miss it. You know, you might fall asleep or get unfocused, but this is what I'm going to tell you." So I'm going to tell you. I'm asking someone to bring me water while I tell you, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, okay? And the children are, cover your ears. Let me just start with a couple of proclamations that are going to happen in here. Mary Magdalene is no prostitute. I know y'all are like, "What? No, really? She is no hoe." She's not. I'll come back and explain more. Jesus is not in the tomb. That's number two. He's not in there. Three, the tomb is also not empty. There's some grave clothes in there, something at the head, something at the feet, and some angels in there telling Mary what to do, right? Four, the body has not been stolen. Not according to this proclamation, right? And finally, Mary is not only she's the first preacher. And Jesus writes her sermon for her. Gosh, I wish Jesus would do that more often. Just be like, this is what you need to say. Okay, bye, you know? You ready to dig in a little bit? That's what I'm gonna say. I'm telling you, that's what it is. So we know, because we know how this story goes, all the gospel writers tell us that there is an Aramaic-speaking Jew from Palestine born to a woman in a scandal, raised by a stepfather named Joseph, who's a carpenter, grows up in Galilee, comes to ministry when he's 30, gets baptized. The angel says, the dove says, this is my son in whom I will believe. We know all of that. We know that the preaching, the teaching, the life, love, giving, beautifulness of Jesus freaks out everybody. Okay, lots of people. It freaks out the Roman authorities. Thank you, love. It freaks out the Roman authorities because this one is claiming to represent a kingdom that is stronger than the one in which Caesar rules. Am I too hot? Is that good? Okay, right? They are not happy about it. The Jewish authorities are not happy about it because this one, who's not a Pharisee, not a scribe, not as learned, a carpenter preaching around the way, has a stronger gospel, and the people are falling in love with the gospel. The powers and the principalities, the structures of Rome, meaning the empire itself, but also the Jewish people who work for the empire. Like they do. They're not bad. They work for the empire. Nobody is happy with this first, last, first, worldview shifting, you know, marginalized to the center, bringing gospel, except the people who believe and begin to get in the movement. The reason that Jesus is killed is because he's bringing a new radical kind of love to the place, right? So maybe I want to say, did Jesus have to die? I don't think so. But I was taught that in Sunday school, right? You're a sinner. Jesus is going to die. It's going to be sort of like an animal sacrifice, but not quite. Going to die on the cross to save you from your sins. Amen? Yeah. What if it is just that powers, principalities, empire, people who are afraid kill things when they're afraid? What if it's that? What if it's that when you feel threatened, you get violent? What if it's that when you hear stories that make you feel like you've got all the power and somebody's telling another story, you want to shut it down, and you'll shut it down by any means necessary? Okay, so they shut it down, right? They shut it down. And in the Synoptic Gospels, again, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the sense is that God so loved the world that God gave God's only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I'm saying that to people like, I know that one, right? But they're saying God sent the son into the world. They're saying that Jesus is son of God, right? That's what they're saying. John is saying something else. John is saying Jesus is God. I'm just saying John. John is saying Jesus is God. How do I know that? John's gospel starts with that. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, man. See, John is saying that the power in the universe, the life-causing force in the universe, the causative word that spoke and called the light in the dark and the people and the creatures into life, that put on flesh, that Godhead put on flesh and came to live amongst us. Ooh. Okay then, that could stretch you. Are you ready for God in the flesh? That's God in the flesh. What John is saying is God got on the cross and God got off the cross. John is saying love. God is love, is John's preach. Love put on flesh. Love got on the cross. Love was willing to go to hell. And love got out of the grave. All right, John. We can skip across that because we want the stories to all go together and mesh and not be distinct, because that's easier. But John is saying love encountered Mary outside the tomb. And love called Mary's name. And love is the good shepherd and knew the sheep by the name and called her. And when she was spoken to, she recognized the love and said, oh, man, here you are, my beloved. And Jesus, God, love, made flesh, tells Mary, don't touch me right now because I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. There's some intimacy hinted at here about Mary and Jesus. She's clearly hugged him before. Stay with me. I'm not doing Dan Brown, they got married. I don't know. I'm not saying they had a child and the child is the princess. I'm not saying that. I am saying that Mary was disciple enough, intimate enough, wise enough that Jesus told her to go preach this good news and told her what to say. So Mary's not a prostitute. She's a preacher. And she's the first preacher. And she's a woman. And she's the first preacher. Don't let anybody tell you women can't preach. Because the first one God, whose love told to preach, was Mary, who was a woman. Period. Right? Now, how did it get to be that Mary got to be, you know, a woman of sin? How did that happen? Well, one, the Bible wasn't written down really until, like, you know, a long time after it happened, right? Like, the first sort of spoken words and then the sort of written words, 60, 65 AD, 30 years after Jesus died, people are remembering. They're like, do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember? I heard. And they're telling those stories. A little telephone is happening. There's a little collapsing, a little confusion. And there's enough Marys to confuse anybody. There's a lot of Marys happening. Everybody's named Miriam, like Jackie. You know, it's a common name. And everybody. So there's Mary, the mother of Cleophas. There's Mary, the sister of Bob. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Right? There's Mary of Magdala. There's a lot of Marys. And the people who were telling the story were beginning to try to collapse the story to make it make sense, be palatable. Then there's these anonymous women who don't get named, like that one, the chick, the Canaanite woman, who needed, what her name? Nobody knows. She, the Canaanite woman, nobody knows. The woman with the alabaster jar of ointment, don't nobody know her name. Nobody knows who she is. And the woman calling Jesus calling her dog, nobody knows that. Look that up. Nobody knows her name. Nobody knows about the hair washing chick. Nobody knows their names. So they smash these stories together. And pretty soon, Mary, who was healed of 7 sicknesses, pretty soon those sicknesses are somehow moral sins. And it does not say that anywhere, not even close. But by the time we get to like the first century church, Mary's prominence, Mary's bad assery, Mary, I was the one that said the thing first. He told me what to say, has begun to threaten the disciples and begun to threaten the early church, and they are not feeling it. How do I know this? Well, I looked it up. But also, I'm a scholar, that's why you pay me. Okay. My husband told me to give it the whole thing. At 9:30, I'm always a little nervous, but at 11:45, ha ha, here I am. I also know that there's a lost gospel. There are lots of lost gospels. Our wonderful Reverend Natalie Renee Perkins is an expert on extra-canonical books, and one of the lost books is the Gospel of Mary. It is found in like 1860s or something like that. It doesn't have all the words there. I had a feeling that the men took out the first pages. And they also took out a couple more in the middle. Why? Because it's fierce who Mary is, right? Mary has heard things from Jesus that maybe the other disciples haven't heard. Because they're like chilling. Again, I'm not saying they're married. I'm saying they're having talks. How do we know? Because the gospel says so. This gospel implies it. But here is Mary saying, you know, okay, guys, you all have the divine living in you, and Jesus wants us to go out and preach what the divine living in us is saying. Do you understand? The divine living in you. You all have the divine living in you, she's saying. And, you know, Andrew's like, why do we think Jesus said it to just her? She's a girl. And Peter says, I know, right? and then Peter says, sister, we know the Savior loved you more than the rest of women. Tell us the words of the Savior, which you remember, and I do not. And then Mary describes this vision, right? And then Andrew goes, why would she know and we don't know? And then Mary weeps and says to Peter, my brother Peter, what are you thinking? Do you think that I have thought this up myself in my heart? Or that I am telling lies about the Savior? That's the beginning right there. That beginning of the sexism right there. The beginning of the power over women right there. Because why would she know something they don't know? Because after all, they have different genitalia than she does. But the word says, when Mary had an encounter with love, that is God, that got up out the grave, love told her to go preach. And she did. And if she hadn't, we probably wouldn't be here today. But we are. How does Mary become a hoe? How does that happen? Because the church needs her to not be powerful. The church needs her to not stand out. The church needs her to represent what the church is thinking about women, either Madonna or ho. And the church needs her then to have been a woman with seven demons, and they were a sexual immorality, and then she confessed, and then Jesus used her, and then she was holy. But first she was bad. And the church needs that because it needs women to fall in line. And the church needs queer people to fall in line. I say the church needs queer people to fall in line. The feminineness of queer people freaks the church out. So we have to use words like abomination to make sure that we manage God's people made in the image of God per God, God's self. Okay. Okay. So what are we to do? What are we to do when a pope named Benedict proclaims Mary's unworthiness to justify a male-only clergy who also have to be celibate because God forbid you enjoy, you know, the company of your partner, which then sends sexual behavior into the underground places. You understand where I'm going? And so where priests who have natural human urges end up somehow thingifying, objectifying, sexifying some folks so they can, are y'all with me? I'm just gonna keep doing that. When the church thinks it can use theological constructs to power over the people. It makes the church take the liberative passages out of the so-called slave Bible and then give it to the slaves who could read and be like, there's nothing in here about your freedom. What's in here is slaves, obey your masters. Have a nice day. Obey your masters and you'll go to heaven and do the same thing. It makes the church listen to papal bulls that call the people on these lands abominations or heathens and say, let's take this chosenness narrative, let's send you across the ocean, take that land, quote, convert the indigenous people, abuse their children to abuse the Indian out of them because the church needs the power over the land and the property. Are y'all still with me? Yes. The church has death-dealing theology. As a black woman preaching, I say the church has worked really hard to silence me and my people. The church has worked really hard to make white and Christian synonyms, to make power and Christian synonyms. The church worked really hard to un-Jewish Jesus and lead to a Holocaust because, quote, the Jews killed him. But wait a minute, who killed Jesus? Oh, I'm sorry, the Roman Empire. But if the Roman Empire makes itself the state religion, it gets to clean up its reputation. And it gets to say, we didn't do that. The Jews did that. And we are here today in a hot, hot mess because the church has created theologies of apartheid, theologies of sexism, theologies of heteronormativity, theologies of anti-Semitism, anti-Islam. The church has created theologies of death. And theologies of death have to be crucified. Yes, they do. Theologies of death enable a whole political party to lose its way behind a porn star poking serial rapist, liar, capitalist gone crazy. Yes, I said it. Because we'd rather follow the devil than to give freedoms to God's people. Theologies of death allowed for the wholesale kidnapping of black bodies off the shore of Africa. Theologies of death allow black people to even oppress each other. Those beautiful black people in Haiti, being oppressed by black leaders because they can, because they will, because power corrupts all of us. In the Sudan, in the Congo, in Gaza and Israel, theologies of death lead to death, and we can't rise with theologies of death. We are called to be like Mary. We are called to take ourselves to the edge of the death, to look inside the grave, to see that it is not empty because there are dead people in it, and still go and proclaim, thus saith the Lord, we are all children of the holy. The kerygma is, I'm going to my God and your God. I'm going to my mother, father, God and your mother, father, God. It's a universalist calling in. All of the people belong to that Abwun, that God. Remember, Abwun is the word for God in that text? Abba plus wun. Abba plus womb is the Aramaic word that Jesus is using right there. It's a father, mother. It's a duality. It's a little bit trans. It's at least non-binary. Come on. It's a mother, father, parenting, holy, loving other that belongs to all of us and makes us all family. That's the gospel according to Mary. Hashtag go be like Mary. Hashtag go be like Mary. The first preacher, special disciple, sitting at Jesus' feet and learning all kind of stuff, not washing his feet with her hair, but taking a special message back to the disciples. There is a living divinity in you calling you into relationship. Hashtag go be like Mary. This is a time of emergency. We can't afford theologies that cause us to kill each other. If the theology is causing us to kill each other, it's the wrong theology, and it needs to die. So God can live, so love can live, so we can live, so we can rise. I was a little softer at 9:30. But I was very upset. I'm very upset. I can't erase the images I've seen. Bodies being plowed over, children being pulled out of rubble. I can't erase the images I've seen in the theaters of war all around the globe. I can't erase it. I can't. And the only reason I can stand up here today and talk at all is because there is a God of love who I believe in. I believe this God of love is calling us into a love revolution. I'm not going to preach some had to die gospel. That's not going to happen here. People kill the things that they fear. People fear radical love. They kill Jesus. How that goes, ergo proctor, whatever the thing is. In Latin, that's it. That's the deal. What are we going to do about it? We're going to hashtag be like Mary. We're going to preach to the world in the way we live, in the way we do our work, in the way we sing, in the way we do our expense reports, in the way we hold our children, in the way we nurse them, in the channels we turn on TV and the ones we turn off, in the books we read at college, in every core puzzle of our bodies. We are going to live love, and that's how we're going to rise. That's it. That's all. We cannot surrender to the evil. We cannot surrender to the evil. Hashtag go be like Mary. Hashtag love. Hashtag God is love. Hashtag you already saved. Act like it. Hashtag God chose everybody. Hashtag especially you, just exactly as you are, as you came through the door. Amen.
I'm Danita Branham. Happy Easter. Easter is actually my favorite day. Even better prize than my birthday, and that's hard to believe. It's always been my renewal day. When I was a little girl in my small town, we would celebrate Easter sunrise on a flatbed in the baseball lot. People would drive up and shiver in their cars as we sang Up the Rising Sun. Easter is also how I found middle. After 12 years of traveling the nation in sales and consulting jobs, I needed to find a church to renew and restore the armor needed for living in our society. Silly me, I searched all the newspapers that April for an Easter sunrise service. There were none to be found. But I did discover a quarter-inch ad saying Jazz on the Steps, 11 a.m., Middle Church. Anyone who knows me knows I love jazz. Jazz church. I arrived, and there was jazz on the front steps. There was a fortress-like wooden door, heavy to open, but inside was something I had never experienced, a racially mixed congregation. Where I sat, eventually, the sun beamed through the dove window over the pulpit as Gordon Drott, our senior minister emeritus, spoke about the intentionality of Jesus in teaching us to love our neighbor. So for me, middle represents diversity and intentionality. Gordon walked the neighborhood encouraging everyone to come to middle. He particularly invited those who had been rejected by their families and churches, our LGBT brothers and sisters. Monday night dinner and entertainment welcomed those with HIV/AIDS and provided a respite of community fellowship. Middle performed same-sex marriages, welcomed non-conforming gender expression, used extensively the arts as a form of faith and worship, provided opportunity and empowerment for women, all before it became fashionable. Jackie has deepened our intentionality by teaching and leading us to learn about and understand the stories of our neighbors. By ripping away the strips of armor we all carried in protection from the obvious and the not so obvious harms that we have experienced. Diverse and intentional. We celebrate and lift up each other by the ways we have been categorized: Black, Latinx, Asian, gay, straight, bi, trans, women. We welcome and support our newest asylum-seeking neighbors with dinners, backpacks, school supplies, clothing, and companion support as they navigate the temporary housing crisis. Diverse and intentional. Here at Middle, we are even researching our church beginnings to lay alongside the creation of the greatest commercial port, New York City, also the enslavement of blacks and the erasure of the indigenous people and respect for Mother Earth in order to complete this achievement. And we will also help New Yorkers understand ways to repair for the harms. If you might be looking for a place of diversity and intentionality, then please go to our website, select middlechurch.com/join, sign up for the new members class so we can share more about Middle and learn more about you, your story, your gifts. You don't need to be a member to volunteer. Please consider that as a way to engage in community. You can experience firsthand how we teach and lead by purchasing a ticket for our 3-day conference, April 26th through the 28th, for either in person or online. Either purchase choice will provide you with videos of all the sessions to re-engage over and over again. All that you experience and the rebuild of our church property needs your treasure partnership as well. At our website, you'll find a donate button, or right now, the QR code right there on your screen. Please donate generously. Consider a recurring gift so that we can better plan the use of our resources. This is fierce love. Thank you.
Middle. There's a lot of people. I just don't hear anything with all these people. Woo!
The darkness gives way to the light.
God, we are grateful for all who came to hear a word from you through our prayers, song, and sermon. Thank you for the hope that lifts and renews our hearts and minds. Thank you for the generous treasure given. We will use it to your honor. Amen and amen and amen.
My friends, if you remain standing as we get ready for our closing hymn, the old hallelujah chorus. Yes, yes. Little dab of Handel, little dab of Quincy, little dab of Michael. They all in there.
ready? We're going to have a benediction. This is Ophelia. Ophelia is shy-ish today. Oh. But she got baptized on Easter and wanted to do the blessing with me. Are you feeling like no? You still want to do it? Let's just put our hand up. Just like that. There we go. That's it. You are the resurrection. You are the risen, living God. You are equipped, saved, sanctified, filled with the holy badness and the holy goodness. You've got everything you need for us to transform the world. Somebody say, we can do it. Somebody say, we have to do it. Somebody say, love wins all the time. We got the power. We got the power. Keep you. God make God's face to shine upon you. God be gracious unto you and give you peace and power and love and soul and love. Period. Everything else is commentary. Mwah! Happy Easter!
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.